Greetings, this is Nigeria Anderson, and you're on UrbanBuzzMag.com, and I have Chef Anthony Thomas on the line with me. Chef Anthony Thomas, say hello.
How you doing? How's everybody? Hope everybody's doing well during this time, you know?
Yeah. But you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Life still go on, and Absolutely. Everybody's still like a good cooked meal. Especially now.
Mm-hmm. For sure, so, most definitely. You need it anytime, you need it now.
Yes, sir. I have a lot of questions. I'm just an average cook, you know, I'm not no chef or nothing, but I could throw some things together, you know.
Well, that's always good.
And you said something interesting about meat. You was talking about turkey meat and the fat of the turkey meat. And you was like, the best to buy is the 99.1, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, where's that? I ain't even pay that no attention. So help me out. I've been buying fat turkey meat all this long time.
Mm-hmm. So when it comes to ground turkey and ground beef, they have percentages of rendered fat that will render from those meats when you cook them down. If you don't look at the actual outside packaging, you'll never notice that it'll have a percentage that equals 100%. So it goes 99.1,
uh-huh,
which 99% lean, which is one that an individual who's working out on a regular basis will want, because it's extremely lean, low in fat, lower in calories, high in protein.
Mm.
You also have 93.7, so that's 7% fat. Then you have, I think you have 91.9, and 85.15. So 85.15 is normally found in ground beef.
Okay.
I see it in ground turkey as well. But that will render a lot more fat in the pan. So you don't have to add any olive oil. You don't have to add any grape seed oil. Because as soon as you put it in the pan, you'll see all of the fat start to come out of it. Which, you know, it's all about personal preference. Which one do you prefer? Which weight loss goals you have? Of course, the more flavorful one is the one with the higher percentage of fat, like the 85.15, which renders a lot of fat, has a lot better flavor as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like I said, it's all about your ultimate, you know, flavor palette and goals.
No, don't leave it up to us, Chef Anthony. We've been doing it wrong. You got to help us. Now tell us what's the right numbers to get so we can get this, you know, lose this gut, trim it down a little.
If you're looking to lose weight, always go for the higher percentage for the first number, which would be a 99.1.
Okay.
Meaning that's super lean, meaning you'll have to add some oil in order to keep it from sticking to your nonstick pan.
That's okay.
It has great flavor. You season it up correctly.
Mm-hmm.
You add your soy sauce, your Worcestershire sauce,
yes,
your Dijon mustard. That'll still bring out some of those great flavors that you would get from maybe an 85.15 or a 91.9.
Okay. So now I mentioned gut, and I be seeing sometimes they say this food is not good for your gut, and then this food is help you lose your gut. Now, is there some truth to
mm-hmm.
that? Okay, share.
You know, totally depends. If someone is looking for weight loss, I normally have them on a lean meat, which is chicken breast, which is the leanest part of the chicken.
Right.
Which is why a lot of people say, oh, it's dry. You know, no, it's not dry. It's the way you prepare it.
Right.
So it has to be cooked extremely quick. You know, I've heard people even say, I don't like salmon because salmon is dry. But salmon has to be cooked extremely quick, whether you boil it or you throw it on the grill, whether you pan sear it really quick and, you know, you just throw a top on it, add a little water, let it steam, and it'll cook all the way through. So the key thing is when it comes to these lean meats, you have to cook them really quick.
Okay.
Chicken breast, ground turkey, cod. Cod's a great fish for weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
Salmon is one of them. Believe it or not, you know, although it is genetically modified, which is, you know, not really a real fish, but tilapia is also a great fish for low calorie, high protein.
What about whiting?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, I don't know. I like whiting.
But whiting is one of my favorites. Actually, I really don't have too many fish that I don't like.
Okay.
I'm not really picky when it comes to that. I'm more picky about how it's prepared.
Okay. You mentioned something else, too, about sauces. Now, That's something I like. I'm not per se like a heavy gravy person, like smothered pork chops. But I do like soy sauce. I like, you know, a nice something to give maybe rice or the meat a little taste. Do you have any suggestions for me?
So give me an example of a dish that you would prepare that you think needs a sauce, and I'll tell you what type of sauce to make. I'll even give you a recipe as a bonus.
You see, this is why we say we are where key players speak. Because we look out for each other like that. And once a key player, absolutely. Always a key player. Okay? So now I'm getting ready to run this down to you. Shrimp. Now, basically, you can do the garlic and butter, but is there something else?
So if you're making some type, let's say you make some shrimp over some rice.
Yes.
Right? Like some grilled shrimp over some rice. I would make a nice lemon salad garlic. So you'll take some garlic in a pan, add some grapeseed oil, saute that real on like medium low.
Mm-hmm.
Add some shallots in that, and then add a little bit of heavy cream, right? And just let that reduce, and just let that cook a little bit, and you'll see that it'll begin to thicken up a little bit.
Nice.
So you have like a garlic shallot cream sauce.
Yes.
So you'll take that and you can pour it over top of your shrimp. Even over top of the rice, like you can even take that rice if you had some leftover, and you take some of that leftover sauce, toss the sauce into the rice, and let it sit in the refrigerator, you know, till the next day you get ready to make it. It is amazing.
Okay, and steak. Besides the basic steak sauce, which you know I have a favorite, but is there anything else I could do with steak?
So we're not talking about we're not talking about on that. Healthier side, we're talking about just flavor, correct?
Yeah, like, you know, I love my ribeye or my New York strip, so what can I do with that?
So, here's a great butter, and this is great to have in the refrigerator on its own. Take a nice big bowl and take 4 sticks of butter and mash them up. You'll take some melted butter and you'll pour it over top of it, right? So you got 4 sticks of butter and you take the melted butter. That melted butter is going to loosen it up a little bit. Not going to melt it at all, but it's going to loosen up those 4 sticks. Add some fresh garlic, some lemon juice, some fresh parsley, a little bit of garlic salt. Mash that up a little bit. I even like to add a little bit of Dijon mustard. And as you notice, Dijon mustard is one of my go-to's.
I know.
It adds a lot of flavor.
Yeah.
And it's very lean and it's very low in calories. But it has a very powerful flavor. So you take those ingredients and you put some gloves on. And you mix it all together, right? You mix those butters, work that parsley, work that salt into it, work that Dijon mustard, lemon juice, and guess what? Now you got a compound butter. So all you have to do when you're making a steak is cut a slice of it. And I've not left out one part. Once it's mixed together, you put it on some parchment paper, put it in like a Ziploc bag, you throw that in the freezer for maybe about an hour. Now it's all bonded back together. You have a compound butter. I like to keep it in the refrigerator, though, after I take it out of the pan. Just slice it off, you know, when you're making, like, a nice steak or, you know, it really goes with anything. But you get a nice scoop of that once you finish your steak and you've got it on the plate. Put a nice scoop of that on top of the steak and just let it melt and let it just soak into that steak. And you'll see that the flavor is just amazing.
Yes. Ooh, I got Chef Anthony Thomas on the line with me. You gonna make me a fat girl. No. Okay. I'm gonna blame you too. What's a tasty treat? Like, I'm a snacker, man, and I just can't I can't let it go. I try, but I just can't let it go. What's a good healthy snack?
I like naan with hummus. And I make my hummus from scratch. All you have to do is take some garbanzo beans. Even if you don't want to sit over there and soak them overnight, just go ahead and take it. Drain the, you know, the preservative juice from out the can. Rinse it all off. You'll see it turns really, really foamy. So once you see that it's no more foam, throw it in the blender. Add some olive oil. Add some lemon juice. Some fresh parsley. So you want to, you can add some Dijon mustard. But, I'm going to add some fresh oregano, sea salt, and you blend that up. Now, you have to add the correct amount of olive oil and lemon juice because those garbanzo beans are really tough to grind up in the blender. So you're going to have to use the ample amount. If you use the 8-ounce can, you're probably going to have to use about 6 ounces of lemon juice and about 6 ounces of olive oil. in order to get it to that real creamy texture.
Mm-hmm.
And once you do that, you know, that's a great dipping sauce. That's great on top of salad. That's a great spread on just some toast, some Ezekiel bread. But like I was telling you, like you dip that on your veggies or raw veggies, some fresh broccoli, some celery sticks, some carrots, maybe even some apples. But
nice.
I spread that over some naan, and you know that it's a nice Mediterranean dish.
Okay, so I know y'all think I was going to just. We was just going to sit here and give y'all a whole bunch of recipes and secrets and stuff. That's not going to go down. My brother here, mm-hmm. Chef Anthony, has books that are available for mm-hmm. purchase on Amazon and digital outlets. So let's mm-hmm. go talk about each book one by one. Just go on, let them know, give them a brief summary about it.
Let's start from the most recent one. The most recent one is the children's illustration book.
Okay.
Which is called Mommy, Daddy, What Is This? And it depicts me and my family in the grocery store
mm-hmm.
where we're explaining to our daughter what each item is in the grocery store. But the fun part about it is you have like 26 different grocery store items,
uh-huh.
one for every letter in the alphabet from A through Z. A for asparagus, going down B to broccoli,
right.
C to cauliflower, all the way down to Z for zucchini
nice.
And everything else in between. The book prior to that was called Meal Prep. Is the new leftover. I was inspired to write that because many people come to me wondering, how do you meal prep so quickly and, you know, how do you come up with your ideas? So
mm-hmm.
I came up with 7 steps to help the individual learn how to meal prep and, you know, teach themselves, you know, in case they decide, okay, I really want to go out, go to the grocery store, pick up these items. What items do they look for? When I go home, what do I cook first? You
right.
know, how do I prioritize what I'm preparing? You know, so it's kind of like a collection of recipes for individuals who are eager to get into the kitchen, learn how to prepare various dishes that they have never prepared before, but it's very simple and very to the point. The book prior to that was, it's called Ashland Eat, and that's a children, infant, and toddler recipe book. A lot of parents came to me wondering how to get their child to eat certain foods, because my daughter would eat everything from broccolini to lamb chops to goat. And, you know, it's kind of probably really inspiring to them to wonder how I was able to get her to try those things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of recipes I've been feeding her since she was 4 months old. So I put those recipes in the book. And my very first book is called Chef Ant Wow. Hashtag Chef Ant Wow was the hashtag I utilized on social media.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's just a collection of recipes, comfort dishes, regular dishes that I prepare on a regular basis. Really fun, simple, quick, tasty dish.
Nice. What's one of your favorite dishes that you cook that you just love? Like, I do this. This is my favorite dish. Or when you're having a guest, you're like, oh, I'm gonna bring this dish to the table.
You know, it's kind of funny because the individuals come to my home, I like to prepare things that they wouldn't normally have anywhere else.
Right.
And, you know, put like a nice little spin on it. So something like, one that I like to make, because I don't eat it too often, are mashed potatoes. But as simple as mashed potatoes are, everyone's mashed potatoes taste different.
Absolutely.
My recipe for mashed potatoes is, it always is, I never take the skin off. So it's always skin in. So at times I like to butter poach some crab meat and lobster and infuse that in it. So then you have lobster mashed potatoes. Another thing, you know, of course, I always put a little bit of Parmesan cheese, sometimes some mozzarella cheese. I like to experiment with various cheeses that infuse well with mashed potatoes.
Uh-huh.
That's one of my dishes that I had introduced to one of my buddies most recently, because he's like, oh, you going to leave skin on? Absolutely. You need skin on. You know, he was blown away. Another one was, and I do a lot with potatoes.
Okay.
I did a potato salad with the skin on. And the girl told me that of all her years, that she, I think she was like, 60-something.
Mm-hmm.
She has 18 grandkids, and, you know, she's going on and on. She's like, I've never had potato salad that tastes this good with the skin on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've never,
right,
she
right,
had,
right.
She never had potato salad with skin on.
Mm-hmm.
And then she would have just didn't expect it to taste that way. So even one of my staple dishes for my brunches is always my garlic and herb roasted bread breakfast potatoes. So, you know, I do love to play with potatoes. My go-to dish, like if I want something really quick,
mm-hmm.
it's always like a fish salad. So, like, last night I made a jerk cod fish salad, and I put that over top of some spring mix, put a little bit of lemon, I make a lemon Dijon vinaigrette, and I just keep it in the refrigerator, and one of my salad dressings of choice when I want to keep it really low. You know, we can't go to the gym we can't go to the gym at all anymore. So you can pack on the calories, pack on the fat all you want. It's going to be harder to come off when we finally get off restriction.
You are telling the truth. You are telling the truth. So let me ask you this. Has the history or cultures of how we grew up eating, right? Because people always talk about eat healthy, whatever. But if I grew up eating, you know, I'm African-American, so I grew up eating soul food all my life. I'm healthy. I'm over 50. I'm healthy. I'm good. Of course, now, being more health conscious, I attempt to eat much better because I plan to be here as long as God desires me to. So when people say you have to eat healthy, and just bear with me, you know, I'm not a chef, nor a nutritionist. But when someone says eat healthy, but this is what you've been eating, Italians eat pasta, you know, Asian people eat all what they've been eating all their lives. What does healthy eating mean?
And to me, honestly, eating healthy doesn't mean that you're eliminating all of the things that you once grew up on. But, you know, also eating those things in moderation.
Right.
So, you know, we grew up eating a lot of pork for breakfast, pork bacon for breakfast, bacon scrabble. And then, of course, you know, the fried chicken on Sundays with the collard greens.
Preach!
Had the ham hock in it.
Preach!
Of course, macaroni and cheese.
Yes, sir.
Smothered pork chop.
Yes, grits, cheese, eggs, you know, butter, biscuits. Yes.
Smells great, tastes great. But at some point in time, we have to understand that those things aren't really the healthiest.
Right.
And that we kind of have to eat those things in moderation.
Okay.
And moderation is totally up to you. So me personally, I may eat bacon for like a month, maybe once a week for like a month. But then I won't eat it anymore for the rest of the year.
Got
you. You know, I just have a taste for it.
Got you. Yes. Thank you.
To me, that's moderation.
For
someone else, it may be once a week.
Right.
For someone else, it may be once a quarter, you know, so you have to determine what moderation is, but you also have to pay attention to how your body feels when you eat these things, because I was once a vegan, and I noticed huge difference in how I felt, even how I looked, my energy levels. It's an amazing thing, so I always try to tell people, if you've never tried it before, don't ever knock it.
Right.
At least try it once for a specific period of time for you to be able to see and feel the difference. That way you can determine whether this is a lifestyle you want to indulge in or not.
Yeah.
You know, but I was a vegan for 4 years, and 4 years straight of going to sleep at 9:30 and waking up at 5:30 fully energized, like no, you know how you wake up sometimes you got to sit in the end of the day, you're like, oh man, another day.
Mm.
It was, I'm talking about none of that. Like, I would wake up at 5:30. I'd be right downstairs at the gym. And we had gym downstairs, work out, drink my tea, eat my oatmeal, and, like, just felt really light. At the same time, my skin was really clear. You know, I didn't really retain a lot of water weight. You know, I could really see my ass.
Interesting.
So you would think, why would you do that all your life? You know,
right.
You know, chicken tastes great. That's why. because steaks taste great.
That's right.
Because lamb chops are amazing.
Right.
And that's why, you know, not anything, you know, against it, but I could definitely talk about all of the pros that come with it. There's so many benefits. Skin looked great. I didn't even have, like, any bags or anything on my eye. Like, my skin just looked like it was just baby oil on it all the time.
Ow.
It just had the sun glow.
Okay.
So I would definitely promote veganism. I mean, to the day I die, it's an amazing lifestyle.
Okay. I might try it.
Mm-hmm. If I say anybody try it, I say try it for 10 days straight so you can see the benefit.
Okay. A little Danielism going on. Gotcha. The Daniel fast. Right?
Yeah, the Daniel fast.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. What's a good bringing food?
Almonds.
Walnuts. Okay.
They actually say walnuts are the ultimate brain food. And if you look at them, they actually look like a brain.
Right, right.
Blueberries. You want to know what really will promote, like, clarity in your mind?
Yes.
Doing a complete raw diet. Not veganism, but it is considered veganism, but going all raw. Whereas you're not eating anything cooked. You're just eating straight from the garden. Mm. Straight from the produce section.
Okay.
And all of those things from the produce section are all uncooked. Apples, peaches, bananas, watermelon, pears, mm-hmm. celery. Just straight raw. Like, gotcha. you'll just know, although you may not be as full.
Right.
But, like, the way you think, like, you'll be able to think a lot clearer. Like, you'll be a lot sharper. And that starts within 2 days. If you do it for 1 day,
uh-huh.
by day two, you'll be able to see the difference.
Yo, Chef Anthony, you are putting us on. You putting us on. I need everybody to go out there and get that book. Now, what we do is we want to support our key players. That's what we want to do. And I thank God for the opportunity to be able to do such. Now, let's talk about COVID-19. I mean, being a chef mm-hmm. and promoting and going out and having your own catering company. Is that correct? What's the name of your catering company?
Chef Anthony Event. I help people create the entire event from beginning to end. You know, from the food aspect to the DJ to the decor. You know, I'm a one-stop shop when it comes to having your event. I handle solely by myself the food.
Nice. Now, being that we're at COVID-19, do you have any clients or did you always just do major events? Have you scaled down? Like if someone, I'm not where you're at, but what if we were close and I was like, hey, Chef Anthony, I'm so hungry. Like, can you, you know, hook me up? I want a meal or something.
Mm-hmm.
Would you do that?
I mean, I do it every day, like even right now. But the social distancing is at an all-time high. So
right.
Looked like the lady I met earlier. I pulled up to her home. I walked to her front door.
Dropped.
I left her right at the front door. I knocked. I waited for her to come out to the door so no one would steal it.
Right.
And then I left. You know, but it, on a normal basis, that would have been something I would have pulled up, we was chatted, have a conversation.
Right.
Maybe shook hands and whatnot, but, yeah. You know, all of that is kind of out the window for the time being. Which, you know, I'm in a hospitality business where I'm providing a service, so, you know, I'm really hands-on.
Right.
And, you know, it does feel kind of weird, but it's, you know, it's becoming a little more normal every day.
Right, so. Okay, good. So it hasn't, like, just threw you off the cliff. It just probably slowed down some of what you were doing.
Yeah, so like now I can't do my large events, like my events for, like, well, I haven't done any events since they said that the gatherings have to be less than 50, like baby showers.
Right.
Those events
had
a complete standstill.
Okay. Well, mm-hmm. you're doing better than another chef. There was a chef, he was crying and saying that, you know, a celebrity chef, I'm not going to say his name, and just everything stopped. And he's just like, whoa, pulling his hair out. And so I was thinking to myself, this is where kindness comes in. This is where when you say more tangible and more customer service, those kind mm-hmm. of techniques make for a better business and a, mm-hmm. you know, more calls than normal because, you know, you took that extra TLC. So I'm glad that, you know, you're still rocking and rolling. You're the second interview I've done mm-hmm. doing COVID-19 whose business is still rocking. So God bless. And that's real absolutely. Good. So,
and always keeping God first because we know that,
yes,
you know,
if it's beyond
our, you know, our means of changing it, there's nothing we need to worry about.
That's right.
He's got it all taken care of.
That's right. I want to be your good friend. Like, let's do the movie. Let's do a movie. Nigeria is coming over for dinner. You know, the remake.
See, and that's how I used to be, though. Like, when I was out here, 19, 20, 21,
because
mm-hmm. I started my catering business at age 20, I would invite the young ladies over and, you know, they'd be like, hey, so where are we going? And I would tell them, hey, why don't you just swing by? I said, I'll cook for us, you know, and, you know, make a couple cocktails, and, you know, we'd be good to go. So basically, the restaurant is in the house.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Or I would go to their home and, you know, prepare the dishes. So that's how that always went down.
Man. Man. That is good stuff. My birthday is coming up, and I'm always traveling or somewhere, and so I'm just trying not to be sad because I can't believe it.
Listen, whenever you come down to the city, mm-hmm. you come down here, I come up there, I can get you taken care of and provide you with a meal like no other.
See, Chef Anthony Thomas, let me tell you something. I'm not the type of girl that you just say that to, and I'd be like, yeah, that's so nice. I will call you, dude, where you at? What you doing? You know.
And I want you to hold me to it, because I'm going to come through.
Okay. Okay. Y'all heard that. So I'm going to say three things, and I want you to respond with what comes to your mind and what it means to you, okay?
Gotcha.
All right. Food.
Food fight. No, I'm
playing. I love it. Food fight.
Comfort food.
Okay.
That food brings everyone together, though. So, right. you know, Southern comfort food brings us African Americans together. But I'll tell you one thing. Preparing dishes that African Americans never had before,
uh-huh.
that we don't, you know, that we're not used to.
Right.
It really can change the entire outlook, which is something I thrive to do. Like, and let me ask you, do you eat Brussels sprouts?
Yes, I do.
Well, I say that because a lot of people say that they don't like certain foods, and it always trips me out. Because I'm like, how do you not like something that you've never tried? And Brussels sprouts is one dish that, you know, my parents never really made for me growing up, but I grew to love. Because, you know, Brussels sprouts are really good for you. You know, and they're like, oh, I don't like those. I'm like, let me just put it in one up.
Second word, culture.
So, once again, you know, we are African-American, but are we willing to try a Nigerian dish?
Yes.
We're African American. Are we willing to try a Mediterranean dish?
Right.
A dish from Lebanon.
Yes.
A dish from Pakistan. You know, dishes from Palestine. You know, mm-hmm. it's just to me, that's culture.
Right.
You know.
Yes. I agree.
You know, anybody can. You know, and when I get those requests to make, can you for this baby shower? Can you make meatballs, fried chicken, collard greens, mac and cheese? There's not willing to step outside of their comfort zone.
Right.
No judgment, but it's a lack of culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to culture people who encourage it or who allow me to.
Right.
So if someone says, hey, I want you to be creative. Hey, you help me with a menu. And right. I say, just name a couple of dishes that you like. And they'll say, I like shrimp, I like salmon, I like lamb. So then I'll say, how about let's do some lamb and cheese. Spring rolls. So that's like a fusion of a gyro, which is Mediterranean, and then you have the Asian of the egg roll, spring roll.
Yes.
So I'm giving you a fusion.
Right.
Or you're exhibiting some sort of culture where though you're willing to step outside of your everyday comfort zone to try different dishes.
Right, absolutely.
And I'm using different spices from those different countries as well. So you can get those flavor palettes.
Last one, travel.
One of my biggest things when I do to travel is two things. When I travel for sun, the beach, and the food. I also do a lot of research and even have a list of various restaurants in various countries for when I do travel to those places because their menus just look amazing.
Now, what are your top three favorite seasonings? And do not say Dijon mustard.
Seasoning. Rosemary.
Okay.
That's one of them.
Okay.
Because I feel like it's underutilized, but it has a very powerful flavor. Basil, very powerful flavor. Basil and mint are like neck and neck. Mint, because it has a lot, I drink a lot of tea, a lot of coffee. Outside of water, I drink a lot of tea. So that mint is really powerful. And it has a lot of health benefits.
Okay.
And lastly, cumin. Okay. Cumin has a very powerful flavor. I feel like it's not in a lot of foods. But when it's in something, you definitely know it's in it. You're like, oh, I know that that's cumin. There's cumin definitely in here. So.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I mean, this is a great conversation. I'm going to probably just listen to it over and over again because I got to get it all together. But the book Which one of your books has the 21-day meal plan?
That's meal prep. It's the new leftovers.
Yes. So that has a 21-day meal plan that will go into more depth than what we have discussed, if you're interested in that. Mm-hmm. And they can go to, what's your social media and your website?
So my website is www.chefanthonythomas.com,
mm-hmm.
which is my name, chefanthonythomas.com, or on all social media platforms, it's Chef Anthony DC. DC as in District of Columbia, Chef Anthony DC.
Got you.
On Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all that.
Man, I thank you so much for stopping by and just chopping it up with me. I had so much fun. And I look forward
Absolutely.
To connecting. And listen, we're going to get through this. And if it get real bad, I'll just get in my car and just come.
And the door is always open.
All right. I really appreciate you.
For sure. Thanks for having me.
You are more than welcome.